strange reason, and you know me well enough to know that it's not all that strange, I start talking so fast you can't understand me because I've promised to make it short, and yet I feel like I have so much quality to say. Just say, can you slow down a little bit? Our brains don't think that fast. I've got 3 points I'd like to make this morning. I think I can make them briefly, so I'm going to give me like 7 to 10 minutes. Is that all right? You guys doubt me, don't you? Son, you've said 7 to 10 minutes before, but we've never heard 7 to 10 minutes. All right, you heard the scripture. Now, before we go too far into Galatians, I want to ask you, I recommended last week that you read James. Did anybody do that? I just want to check the impact I have on your life. I got 3 in the choir, so I'm going to preach to the choir. All right. If you were listening carefully to this scripture, one of the last things it said is so I want to make this point and then get off and be brief. It said that we become Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. If you have been part of the church connection long enough, you may know what being Abraham's offspring means in terms of worldwide scope. If you don't get what that means, let me be really clear. When it says that we're Abraham's offspring, it means we're in the same family with all the Jews and all folks from Islam. Because all of them are descendants from Abraham's offspring. So that little phrase tucked in there is why we Christians have got to every once in a while distinguish between folks who play the role of terrorists and folks who are devout followers of a faith. Folks who are loving, authentic Jews and folks who are authentic followers of Islam that are loving are part of the same family. We have terrorists in every slice. We have white male Protestant American terrorists, which would kick me out of the club all of a sudden, and we've got other folks. I just don't want us throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So I want to be clear about that distinction. It says it right here. We are joint heirs with Abraham. So if I say something that makes you uncomfortable about being supportive of Islam, hear that word from me, that we're joint heirs with Abraham. Now, that doesn't mean I'm supporting, so I'm trying to be careful about distinguishing. The other point I want to make, and it's the second one, but it's not as long as the third one, so let me keep moving. Getting things in the right order matters in Christianity. And here's my point. Have you ever done a recipe out of order? I'm not looking at all of you because some of you have never used a recipe in your life. There was, in my life at one point, and it wasn't me, just be clear, a 15-year-old boy who was told to make his own dinner, and he was going to make macaroni and cheese out of a box for the first time. Now, I didn't think that those instructions were all that sophisticated. Do you think those instructions are all that sophisticated? Here's how it went. Put in water, get to boil, put in macaroni, put in cheese. Take some of you a second to get that that's not going to be very cheesy. It's going to be significantly more watery than I'm used to. Sometimes following the right order makes a difference. That's the case for us in the Christian faith. Some people want to skip ahead and press the easy button and go straight to, I want to be a full-fledged righteous and holy Christ follower. Generally, righteousness and holiness don't come because we choose them. Usually, they come because we choose not them and we learn lessons the hardest possible way. We put the cheese in with the water instead of after we've strained the macaroni. For some folks, they're worried more about works and law than they are about faith and love. And I think the order matters. First, we figure out how to love one another, and then we are transformed and we start doing things differently. The order matters. I think as I was growing up, I defined faith differently than I do now. Part of the debate, part of the education in New Testament studies was the word faith actually means something very specific. When Dr. Weaver at Florida Southern was teaching us the New Testament and about Greek, the word faith meant trust, belief, relationship. It didn't mean just I am kind of aiming in the general direction of being a fan of Jesus. But for some folks, being a fan is what they understand following Christ or being faithful means. I choose, yeah, if you give me all of the smorgasbord, I'm going to choose Jesus. But as you watch the gospel unfold and Paul's life unfold, it's really not until your life is struck down and your life is transformed that you start at a different level. At some point, transformation changes everything. Just following the rules doesn't make you a Christ follower. There are folks who follow that same set of rules that are not Jesus followers. So we can't look at somebody outside ourselves and say, based on what I see in you, you're a Christian. Sometimes, and you've done this, sometimes things in your life that you would do look an awful lot, that you do with people you love, look an awful lot like what people who don't like each other do. Have you ever told your children, no, you can't have that? You don't have to love your children to tell them, no, you can't have that. If I say, no, you can't have any dinner at all, or lunch, or breakfast, or any food for the next 2 weeks, that doesn't insinuate love, right? Except if they've got something going on in their stomach or their gut or something, and it would cause them all kinds of pain and health, at which point in time, a loving parent would say, don't eat. Right? You can't take what you see and assume what's on behind the scenes. And I think that reminds us of Jesus saying, don't judge. If you read James in the last week, then you remember he talks about saying, faith without works is dead. It turns out faith and works are a both and situation. We've got to both have a relationship with God and live like we have a relationship with God. In the Wesleyan tradition, that means we say stuff like sanctifying grace and social holiness and other things, moving on to perfection, but I don't have time to unpack those today. I just want you to recognize that there's a difference between seeing the law from the outside and seeing the law from the inside. Once you're on the inside of the relationship with God, things look different. And perspective matters. The piece that I really want to get to this morning is about core identity. All right, that's my 7 minutes, so I got 3 minutes. Hold on. In the New Testament, we often refer to folks as somebody of some place or son of somebody, right? How do you think about your own core identity? Let me ask. Do any of you, members of any kind of club, if I say, tell me about yourself, do you have something that you would say is the central part of who you are? I'm not asking you to choose teams, although I'm going to talk about teams in just a second. I'm asking you to consider your self-identity. Do you, when you think about yourself, do you say, I am a Republican or Democrat or American or independent? Do you identify, see yourself through that lens? You don't have to choose one of those, but just shake your head if that's part of a little bit of part of who you are. Okay? How about this? Anybody in here identify themselves and see themselves and would describe themselves as a gator or a Seminole? This is yes. This is I'm getting hand signals. And I had to put hurricanes on here just in case a couple of folks were here. They're not here. I put Tar Heels in just. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody, other Tar Heels in the room? No, next service. All right, I got a couple of Tar Heels in the room. And just for the sake of it, of trying to be fair, Buckeyes, anybody? Anybody a Buckeye? I thought I might have a few in this service. Cowboys, anybody a Cowboy fan? Either Oklahoma State or Dallas? No? Ooh. All right. If you talk to me long enough, you'll know that I'm a Dolphin fan. But it's not going to come up early in the conversation. Even on a Sunday afternoon in the fall, because, well, what good is it to identify as a Dolphin fan these days? Do any of you identify yourself as Southerner or Northerner or Floridian or Texan? I had to include Texas because, my Lord, do those folks identify as Texan. Do I have any Texans in the room? I do. Am I right? There's something about identity to that. Some folks who are native Floridians take it as a great sense of pride, and so. And other folks will say, yes, it's important to me that I'm seen as a Southerner. And other folks who say it's not. And some folks who don't make that distinction at all. For some folks, middle class, upper class. For some folks, Army, Navy, Marine, Air Force. For some folks, it's I'm a son of a vocation or the daughter of a. And it's particularly discouraging to deal with preachers' kids, just so you know. They get identified. It's real clear. There's no hope. How would you describe yourself? How do you see your identity? And what Paul is saying in this passage is, I want you to see yourself as Christ follower first. How do you describe yourself? What's your core identity? Lover of God. Child of God. And from inside that point of view, other things get kicked down a bit. I started to think about how I would do this for myself, and it was Christ follower, child of God, lover of God. Then I want to be the second thing on my list, married to Carla, because I want that covenant and promise to be understood to who I am, connected to family. And then I put dot, 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 because I got to go down the list along. I mean, the next few things don't even compare to those. And then I hit stuff like United Methodist clergy. It turns out that if I made a long list, probably Duke supporter would not make the list. I went there so I get to. I'm proud of going to Florida Southern, but it's not part of my identity. What is part of your core identity? If vocation is before something, before Christ following, Jesus and Paul are saying, change the order. Lover of God, connected to God. Our identity is in Christ, so I invite you to put on the jersey of Jesus. It's not in our maleness or our femaleness. It's not in our slaveness or our freeness. And they didn't get to choose free or slave. They were born into free or slave. But Paul is saying our identity is not in our slaveness, not even in where or when or how we were born. It's not in our Jewish background or our Greek background. When you put on Christ, when you are clothed with Christ, it's putting on Jesus' jersey. And then we're heirs of the same promise. Getting things in the right order matters. And the most important first thing is relationship with God. Then things unfold. First in relationship, that promise and that covenant. Living inside the relationship and inside the covenant. And then we start to see our own lives as an expression of God in us. Our calling, our gifts, our everything. I invite you to put on Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, allow us to find our way into that mystical union that ignites us, unites us to you, unites us to a spouse when marriage is going the right way, and unites us to friends when friends are critical and important in our life. And sometimes, Lord, there's that mystical union that exists between us and our pets. Make sure, Lord, that that mystical union exists between you and I. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.